Well, if our TV shows are anything to go by, our fascination with love continues unabated. Aussie TV, it's just saturated with shows about love. There's The Bachelor or Bachelorette, that's the one with the roses, where the selected guy or girl tries to find their true love from the pool of romantic interests presented to them, the most recent version rolling off the production line being Bachelor in Paradise. There's Married at First Sight, where strangers meet one another for the first time, or so we're told, at the altar of a commitment ceremony, having been previously matched by experts. Or 7 Year Switch, which features four married couples whose relationships are on the rocks, and where a person from one couple is then matched up with a person from another couple, the switch. They live together for 14 days, and at the end of the fortnight, the original couples reunite and make a call as to whether they'll reaffirm their commitment to each other or part ways at that point. Now, I'd choose rugby over romantic reality TV any day, but their popularity, it goes to show, doesn't it? Our fascination with love continues, that there is something within us that seems to need love, that as well as food and clothing and shelter, love, it's right there in the mix of our essential needs, a key part of what it is to be human. But where should we go in our search for love? Where should we look for guidance when it comes to our fascination with love? I'd like to suggest to you this morning that the Bible strangely, intriguingly, calls us to cast our gaze to a hill outside Jerusalem, to an event that took place about 2,000 years ago that we're still remembering today. The Bible, it calls us to cast our gaze to a man dying on a cross. Paul, the person who wrote the part of the Bible we're looking at this morning, Romans chapter 5, he invites us in our search for, in our fascination with love, to compare, to play off human love with divine love. Let's think about human love firstly. See verse number 7 in our reading for today. It says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die." That's what human love is like. For someone who is righteous, that is a person who is just and upright enough in their dealings with others and therefore demands a certain amount of respect, but with whom there's no personal connection or attachment, it'd be rare that someone would die for them. For a good person, that is someone whose goodness is warm and generous and appealing, someone in whom we have a stronger personal connection, attachment, it's more possible that someone might die for them. There's the acknowledgement here in this verse that when it comes to human love, for certain people, some might go so far as dying. But either way, you'll scarcely find anyone willing to lay down their life for another. I remember reading about Hugh Sheridan, the Aussie actor of Packed to the Rafters fame, travelling all the way from Australia across to Nepal after the earthquake there in 2015. Zachary Sheridan, Hugh's younger brother, had headed across to that country to hike and to climb the lower peaks of Mount Everest when the earthquake hit. And he'd been listed amongst those who'd gone missing. "I just wanted to grab and hold him," Hugh declared. "I was prepared to climb Mount Everest to look for him." His brother was later found alive, and it was, of course, an emotional reunion. Most of us would like to say, at least, that we'd be prepared to die for those closest to us. A spouse, a child, a family member, a best friend. Human love is impressive in the lengths that it will go, isn't it? Incredibly impressive, giving even one's life for our nearest and dearest. But even then there can be limits, conditions, can't there, sometimes? A while back now I was listening to ABC Radio and they were having a conversation about organ donation. And this lady, she phoned in and she said, I'd be happy to give my liver to my nephew or niece because it regrows, as long as it wasn't needed because of alcoholism or something like that. And that's the rub of it, isn't it? Human love, at its best, it's a good thing. It does wonderful things. It soars to amazing heights. But in the end, human love, it'll extend, it'll reach, it goes only so far. That seems to be Paul's point here in verse number 7. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. And that's the point of the comparison, the contrast that Paul makes here in this part of the Bible we're looking at. The contrast is between human love at its best and divine love, God's love. So have a look with me now at what we're told here about divine love. Verse number 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And verse number 6, at the beginning of our little section, verse 6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. When my wife Alison and I were living in Cape Town in South Africa, the first place we stayed in had this strange, well, strange at least to us, set up for prepaid electricity. You'd go and grab a voucher at the supermarket and punch in the number and away you'd go. And one day we were having some trouble with it, so the company sent out a technician to work out what was going on. And as it was working, the technician and I, we got talking. And in the course of the conversation, I mentioned that I was a student at the Bible college next door. His view on Christianity, his view on what God was like. I believe God helps those who help themselves, he said. God helps those who help themselves. It's a pretty common view of God, isn't it? Perhaps it might even be your view of God as you've come along here this morning, but it's got nothing in common with the God described to us here in this part of the Bible. It might be what we as humans are like when it comes to our attitudes and our actions, but it's not at all what the God of the Bible is like. You see, God didn't wait for us to start helping ourselves, to start getting our act together, to wean off the alcohol so Auntie might make good on her liver donation. It was while we were still sinners, verse 8, that Christ died for us. That is, while we were still in a state of having departed from God's ways, when we'd fallen short of God's standards, while we were continually missing the target, the mark that God had set for us, that was when Jesus Christ died for us. It was, verse 6, for the ungodly that Christ died. That is, he died for those who, instead of loving God with all their heart and mind and soul and strength, as we're supposed to as creatures of a loving Creator God, for those who had instead rebelled against him, turned our backs on him, wanted nothing to do with him, wouldn't give him the time of day. It was verse 6 again, when we were still powerless, helpless to save ourselves, that Christ died for us. This isn't a God who helps those who help themselves. There's not much helping going on when you're helpless, powerless. You see, divine love, God's love, it's seen, it's proved, it's demonstrated in Christ dying not for righteous people, not even for good people, human love at its best. No, God's love is demonstrated in Christ dying for sinful people, ungodly people, powerless people, people like you and like me. This passage, it tells us of a love like no other. God's love, divine love, It's a love like no other. You see, as you've come along here this morning, you might be the fortunate recipient of human love at its best, love received from a spouse, a parent, a sibling, a close friend. I hope you have been or will be at some point, because to feel unloved is such an awful experience. But those deepest longings, that root fundamental need, it's not ever going to be met in human love. Because as we've seen, human love, even at its best, can reach only so far. That deep longing, that fundamental need, it's met only in this divine love, the love that God has demonstrated in the death of his Son. You will not find a love like it anywhere else. It's far greater in magnitude than any other love you could hope to find. It is a love like no other. So in your fascination with love, in your search for love, won't you cast your gaze to that hill outside Jerusalem, to that event that took place about 2,000 years ago, to that man dying on a cross, and say to God, yes, I see your love for me there. You've shown it in the face of my rebellion, my rejection of you, yet you have loved me. I gratefully accept your love and put my trust, my dependence in Jesus. And if you've already accepted Christ's love for you, God's love shown in Jesus' death on the cross for you, there is real personal encouragement and reassurance for you in those times in life, and we all go through them, when we experience heartache, pain, struggle, suffering. So easy to start changing the way you think of God when you go through those times. Changing in what you believe to be true about him, how you picture him, isn't it? If that's you, be reminded again this Good Friday morning why it really is good. It's because of a good God whose love for you is far more dependable than any human love that you might experience. A love that is distinct from every other love, a love uniquely God's own, a love that he has demonstrated, he has shown, he has proven to you in the death of his Son. Be reminded that here in God and in Jesus' death on the cross, we find a love that's like no other. How about we talk to God now and thank him for this love? Let's pray. Loving God, we praise and thank you that you've demonstrated your own love for us in Jesus and his death on the cross. That while we were still sinners, ungodly, powerless, Christ died for us. For those who may yet still be rejecting you and your love, please soften them to accept, to receive your love for them in Jesus. Please turn them to put their trust in, to depend on Jesus Christ. For those here this morning who may be doubting, questioning you and your love for various reasons, please gently direct their thoughts and their feelings to the cross and the demonstration, the proof of your love found there. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to continue reflecting on this love as we sing our last song now, so please join with our musos.